All right, 24 minutes to 8 o'clock. A study by Bristol University in the UK has found that online gambling among young people surged during lockdown. The research published in the Journal of Gambling Studies has revealed that online gambling, including casino and bingo games, increased sixfold among regular gamblers during the COVID-19 crisis. In a few minutes, we're going to be joined by Nonkululeko Adonis from the South African Responsible Gambling Foundation to find out whether there's been a similar surge here in South Africa, and also what support is on offer for those people who, for whom gambling is becoming a problem. But first, I want you to take a listen to Kerry Nichols' story. Kerry from the UK had never gambled before, but within 6 months of making her first bet worth around 20 Rand, Kerry was gambling daily. By the time she finally admitted defeat against her gambling problem 5 years later, it had cost her the equivalent of over R1 million. It had also cost her her relationship, and she says that at her lowest point, she even considered suicide. I caught up with Kerry to find out more about her story. Kerry, welcome to Weekend Breakfast, and thanks so much for joining us. You're going to share with us your experience, your story of gambling. Just tell us a little bit, what's your first memory of gambling? How were you introduced to it?
If I think back to my very first memory, it was when I was a child, and we used to do every year at the Grand National, and I'd just pick a horse with my mum, my dad and my nan, and my dad would go to the bookies and put that on for us. So that was my first memory. So it was quite a young age, but obviously, you know, it was many years later where I had more experiences with gambling.
And then you're about 21. You got into a relationship, and your partner liked going to the casino, and so you would go along with her and watch, and you would also get involved. Was that sort of the start of where your addiction began?
No, so initially when we used to go to the casino, I used to take £30 with me to, you know, to spend, and I wouldn't spend any more than that. It was very much like going on a normal night out. If I was going to go to the cinema or just go for a few drinks, I'd have a certain amount of money, and I did that with going to the casino. So at that point, you know, that wasn't where the addiction kind of, I suppose, started to happen. It was a few years later when I was in a different relationship, and we started to put on some football accumulators. So that was the point really where it started to become a problem.
And you say that it started off innocently, which I imagine is probably for the story for a lot of people. When did things start to go awry? When did you notice that, hold on a minute, this is getting a little bit out of control? Was it how you felt, or was it the amounts of money that you were losing?
I think for a long time, for a number of years, I was still in denial, even in terms of the amount of money I was losing. I still didn't really recognise it as an issue. I think the only point where I truly realised it was an issue was when I'd spent all of the sort of the credit limit on my credit card, at which point I admitted I had a problem to my partner. But even then, I don't think I really believed it was a problem still. The problem I had was that I'd actually ran out of money to gamble with. But to me, I still wasn't really acknowledging it. I wasn't aware of the impact it was having on me mentally, or the impact it was having on the relationship. So for a long time, I was still in denial, even though I kind of knew that I was spending more than what I should have been.
What did you know about addiction at that point, if anything?
Bizarrely, my knowledge of addiction was really good, because I used to work for a drug and alcohol agency. So I used to support people with drug and alcohol issues. Mm. But in terms of gambling, I never really viewed it as the same. It always felt as something that was very different. Naively, I didn't understand how someone could be addicted to gambling. So it felt like a very different addiction. But obviously now in hindsight, when I think back to a lot of what I learnt with drugs and alcohol, and obviously the situation that I found myself in, I can see that, you know, it really was, you know, for me, a definite form of escape. But I think that's where a lot of the sort of, I suppose, embarrassment from me, where that came out, was that I had such a good knowledge of addiction, and yet I was still able to go down that route myself.
If you're just joining us this morning, my guest is Kerry Nichols, who is sharing with us her story of gambling addiction, which cost her thousands, tens of thousands of pounds.
You confessed about your situation and the money and the situation that you were in financially to your partner, and at that point your dad took out a loan to consolidate the debts that you had. Do you think that? And we were speaking on this show a few weeks back about addiction as a family disease. Do you look back on that as him enabling you, or do you think he just thought, oh, Kerry's got into a bit of trouble, let me just help her out and then she'll be all right once that's sorted?
Yeah, I think we were all very much naive to it. We certainly thought that if we deal with the financial side, if the debts are paid off, then that will be the problem dealt with. But obviously, in hindsight, that was very much ignoring, you know, why the reasons I was gambling in the first place, which at that time I wasn't aware of. So I think it was, you know, it was a lack of understanding about the addiction and thinking that gambling is a financial addiction, whereas really there's always a lot more that's kind of going on behind the scenes with it, which was certainly the case in my experience.
Your partner had said to you, as I think many partners of those with various different addictions, gave you an ultimatum and said, if you gamble again, the relationship's over. And we know, as people who know about addiction, that that's not how addiction works. It's not a case of I don't want to. It's a case of I'll stop. It's a case of I have a problem. So what happened after that, once she said to you, if you gamble again, the relationship was over?
I mean, obviously my response was, you know, I promise I'll never gamble again. Yeah. Because I honestly in that moment, you know, didn't believe that I would, didn't want to. You know, I felt that by saying I had a problem, that was kind of dealing with it. And in the next, you know, sort of few weeks, I self-excluded from the one gambling site that I use the most. But obviously there were a lot of other gambling sites that I did use, but I didn't self-exclude from that. She was using my bank account to have a look at transactions to make sure I wasn't gambling. So that happened for about the first 3 weeks or so. But after 6 weeks, you know, the gambling thoughts, the urges were still there. And people stopped asking about how I was feeling and how I was getting on with gambling. And I think that sort of gave me a green light to think, well, actually, I can do it again. My debt's been cleared. It's, you know, it's a clean slate. No one knows about it. So I opened up another bank account, which nobody knew about. And then the gambling started again.
You, in December 2015, took out a loan for £25,000. And then you took out another loan in January 2016. £25,000 is about 500,000 rand. So in the space of 2 months, you'd taken out 1 million rands worth of loans. And to give you a context, that, I mean, you can buy a property in South Africa for 1 million rand quite easily. So that's the sort of that's the equivalent. Tell us about the family holiday that you went on with your mom, partner and her parents in 2016.
Yeah, so we went on a family trip to Wales, to the seaside, and it was a few days away, and it was shortly before my relapse had come out. So I was really struggling at that point. I'd spent obviously all the loans that I'd taken out a payday loan and spent that. I'd started to dip into the joint account and use the money that we had in there for the mortgage. And, you know, I carried on as normal on the holiday, even though in the days beforehand I'd been feeling suicidal and thinking about how I could end my life, and I'd done quite a lot of, you know, searches, you know, internet searches on how I could do it. But nobody would have known that, because I presented as, you know, very functioning. But during that holiday, I placed my last bet on the 4th of July, and it was, you know, I kind of knew everything was sort of coming to a head. And then bizarrely, my mom asked me as we were driving back, it was just me and my mom in the car, and she said, how are you getting on with paying your loan back to your dad? And it's almost like she knew. It was just like she hadn't asked me anything for months and asked me that question. And I had such a sense of, I suppose, fear that everything was going to come out, but also a sense of relief that I could finally just get all this stuff out there that, you know, I'd been sort of really struggling with. And I told her what had happened, and she was really supportive, and you know, I was driving along some country lanes in Wales, just, you know, really crying. And she said, you know, you need to pull over, you need to pull over. And I didn't want to, because I kind of felt like that was going to be the point where I was really going to have to admit to this and talk about it. But I did it. And that was really the starting point of my recovery.
Yeah. If you are just tuned into the show this morning, my guest is Kerry Nichols. She's sharing with us her experience as a recovering gambling addict, but speaking about the lows to which her addiction to gambling took her, tens of thousands of pounds in debt. We're going to be joined in a few minutes' time by Nampolo Adonis, who is from responsiblegambling.org.za, to talk about gambling and the support that's available here in South Africa. It's July 4th, you said, so it's coming up to 5 years since you took your last bet. Describe the last 5 years for us, Kerry. You found recovery, you began attending support groups. Let's talk about that.
Yeah, I mean, in the early days, you know, I was really, I suppose, scared, because I've never been someone that's been that would talk about how I felt. So opening up and being honest about things was really difficult. But it's something that has been really key to my recovery. Sharing, you know, my experiences with GA and other people who are in recovery has, you know, really helped me to see that I'm not alone. There are so many people that also struggle with this addiction. And I think just being part of that and knowing that there are other people, you know, is a massive, you know, a massive positive to kind of keep you on track and know that actually there's not something wrong with you. This can happen to absolutely anybody. And, you know, like I say, the element of being able to talk is key now. I always talk about how I feel to, you know, to my parents, to my partner, to friends. I'm far more open. And that's been a really key part in sort of maintaining where I am. And just now being able to enjoy, you know, the everyday elements of life.
Does the temptation ever crop up these days, Kerry?
Not anymore. I mean, I've kind of learnt to, I suppose, almost take it quite lightheartedly and sort of joke about it. So if I'm watching football with my partner, you know, I'll joke and say, oh, you know, I'm glad I haven't got anything on that game because I would have put this on. But, mm-hmm. you know, in sort of a joking way. But it doesn't sort of register anymore. You know, I can watch football. I gave up watching football for, you know, for a few months once I first stopped gambling, because I was worried about the impact it would have. I didn't think I'd be able to watch it without having an urge. So, but now I watch football again. I don't watch as much, which I think kind of fed into the gambling behaviour. So I just watch the things that are really important to me. But yeah, I don't really have those thoughts anymore.
And you now work as a counselling programme outreach recovery worker for an organisation in the UK which helps people to reclaim and rebuild their lives free from gambling addiction. And as I said in the intro, we've seen from the statistics around gambling since the start of the COVID-19 pandemic, and people admitting that they've really been struggling, and that the rates of gambling and problem gambling have increased in the last sort of 15 months. Does that surprise you at all?
No, I mean, you know, to be honest, it's kind of what I would have expected. As someone in recovery, for me, I kind of thought if I was in that position, you know, as somebody who was, you know, maybe struggling or feeling lonely or bored, you know, the pandemic and the lack of, you know, sort of being able to, you know, to see other people, to be able to do things you normally do, it kind of creates a bit of a perfect storm to, you know, to, you know, maybe look at, you know, look at gambling as a, you know, escapism. So, you know, it's not a surprise that more people are, you know, have reached out for support. And I think it's, you know, it's important that, you know, wherever you are in the world is knowing that there is that support out there to be able to reach out to. Because there's people that understand it.
Absolutely. And we will in just a minute be finding out more about the support that is available here in South Africa. But for now, Kerry, thank you so much for joining us this morning and for sharing your experience, strength and hope with us.
Thank you very much for having me.
Weekend Breakfast with Sarah Jane King
on Cape Talk.
All right, so that was Kerry's story about how her gambling problem affected her life and that of her family. Let's welcome now to the show Nampolo Adonis, who's the Senior Treatment Advisor at the South African Responsible Gambling Foundation. Great to have you with us, Nampolo. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me. Good morning.
So listen, as you've heard Kerry's story there, and obviously that's from a UK perspective, but as a country, are we a nation of problem gamblers?
I would say yes, we are a nation of problem gamblers, but on the other hand as well, I wouldn't say because, you know, with our referrals that we get in the foundation, we get to classify them according to provinces that we have in South Africa, right?
Mm.
So, you know, the highest provinces that has the highest numbers of referrals of problem gamblers is Gauteng, Western Cape, and KZN. So those, it changes from one province to the next. But even though we have them as the provinces that have these high numbers, we have other provinces that have little numbers of people who gamble. So I wouldn't say we are as a whole country of problem gamblers, but yes, there are those provinces that have quite high numbers of problem gamblers.
I mean, those, of course, are our largest and highest populated provinces. Presumably, that would be why those provinces come up as the provinces with the highest number of referrals, or is there something more specific to those provinces?
Yes, exactly. The main reason why these provinces have the high numbers of problem gamblers is because, firstly, these are the big cities, you know, Cape Town, Gauteng, and KZN. And obviously, there is more economic activities happening. Mm. So there are more bingos, more casinos, more hotels. So people have quite a lot of places that they can go to gamble. That's one of the main reasons why they have this big numbers of gamblers, yes.
Figures in the UK, as we heard, showed a spike in people gambling since the start of lockdown. Is it the same in South Africa? Has there been a rise in the number of people who are turning to online gambling sites since the coronavirus pandemic?
Yes, there has been a spike or an increase on the number of problem gamblers, during the lockdown. This is obviously because, people were wanting to gamble since gambling facilities were closed, and now they opted to gamble online. So, you know, people move from gambling on casinos or on site to gambling online. So there was an increase there. Also, there was an increase on the number of calls that people were calling because they were frustrated. Like you would know with any addiction, when you stop getting the addiction, you experience withdrawal symptoms. Now, with withdrawal symptoms, you get frustrated because you do not know how to cope or deal with what's happening in your body. So we were getting a lot of calls also from clients who were experiencing withdrawal symptoms.
What are some of the signs that somebody's gambling has become a problem? What are the red flags?
Okay, some of the red flags is that if someone is often occupied with gambling, you know, instead of working, during work hours they'd be gambling online, or during lunch hours they'd go out to gamble at a bingo or a casino. Even though they're losing a lot of money, they'll be still wanting to chase their losses. They gamble when they feel stressed. You know, every time they feel stressed or they have conflict at home, they would go gamble. They are starting to spend less time at home with their families. It's affecting their work and just affecting everyone on their inner circle, or relies on others to provide money to relieve a desperate financial situation caused by gambling. Some people make a lot of loans. They'll make loans from their friends, make loans from family members, and they are unable to pay back these monies because it's quite a huge amount of money that some people cannot pay. And you find that at times, some people take loans or make loans that are far even above the salary that they receive monthly. So you would understand that it would be very difficult to pay back that loan.
Yeah, indeed. If you're just tuned into the show this morning, we are talking to Nonkolo Adonis, who is the Senior Treatment Advisor at the South African Responsible Gambling Foundation. Figures from the UK show a huge spike in the numbers of people gambling since the start of the lockdown. And as we've just heard, the same is true here in South Africa. In doing this conversation, I was speaking to a colleague, Nonkolo, and he was saying to me that he used to work for one of these gambling companies. And some of the stories that he was telling me about how he, as a sort of customer service representative, used to be coached in terms of getting people to gamble were absolutely terrifying. He did actually tell me that if, when he made a phone call to encourage somebody to get back online or to use a certain gambling app, if that person said, please stop calling me, I have a problem with gambling, they absolutely, that they had to terminate the call. He did, however, say that there would be situations where he would make calls and somebody would say, oh, listen, you know, I'm down to my last 10 rand. I can't do this. And in that situation, his job was to turn that call into a sale, which to me is absolutely despicable. Do we need tougher regulations, and does the gambling industry need to take greater responsibility?
Yes, I would personally say that we need tougher regulations. For example, there are some gambling sites that are not legal in South Africa, but you would find that some people still gamble and people still promote illegal gambling, even though they know that it's stipulated in the Gambling Act that any illegal gambling venue that is not registered according to the Gambling Act should not be fully functional in South Africa. So, yes, I would say that we need tougher regulations in South Africa in terms of people looking into this illegal online sites that people gamble at, because they are quite increasing by each day. But there is regulations that are in place. For example, in the gambling industry, all licensed operators at all times have to provide material that communicates with the logo of the SARGF, which says winners know when to stop. And it should have our toll-free number for assistance, which is 0800-006-008. And the material should promote responsible gambling brochures and posters at all times. So those are the legal gambling venues.
Okay, fantastic. Thanks ever so much for your time. Nontlolo Adonis is from the South African Responsible Gambling Foundation. If you or someone you know is struggling with a gambling problem, you can get in touch with them, responsiblegambling.org.za.